Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
I have magnificent flowers tonight. and the little ones made more. Didn't they?
Yeah. That long.
Well, I think we all took home the not talking about injured limbs as our assignment. So, to remind you, it's about making assumptions about other people. Thinking we know who they are and what they should be, and pointing out the limitations that are obvious. We all have limitations, and it's very easy to see them. And so it's the basis of gossip. Gossip is very, very tempting. And it's our ignorance that we don't really know how our mind works, that we can feel something and have assumed that the feeling is coming from over there. That person is a bad person, or that person did a bad thing to me, or I'm jealous. But it's all assuming that we know what we're actually looking at and experiencing. I saw Beth this afternoon. Our Beth from Cambodia came to town, but is very short on time, so she sends her love to us and says, she's sorry that she couldn't come this time. But she was telling the story of the last retreat that she led, when she asked them about to talk to the person that they were jealous of and really notice how that felt, and then get to know them and develop a feeling of happiness about them, find something that is positive about that same person, and then realize that those feelings are both inside, weren't in the person at all, but it took a little study to actually identify where that's coming from. So that's what this is about also. To be with, Chogyam says, to be with someone's Buddha nature rather than poke and pry at the things that are obviously not perfect. So, what did you discover?
A long involved story, and I won't tell it all, but I was at a sesshin a long time ago, and there was outside the zendo, there was a shelf where we all put our shoes, and there was a tradition of keeping a flower vase on the shelf. Nice little single flower.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy in the sesshin who, every time he came out, he kicked the shelf when he was getting his shoes, or he bumped the shelf while he was getting his shoes, and the vase would either tip over or spill out quite a bit. And he didn't notice, but I did. And it was really bugging me. And I went through this whole deal about it. And that's where it gets kind of involved. And I won't, actually had a nonverbal confrontation with him about this issue. And then I started to sit. The more I sat, the worse I felt about how I was being and how kind of wrong I'd been to judge him like that. And I began to really have more tender feelings for him. And at the end of the session, we kind of hugged and made that way we could talk again. We never really talked about it, but we just hugged each other and sort of it was okay. But just the amount of, I know that some of this happens, especially during session, where our minds are really churning.
Yes.
Or trying to slow down.
Yes.
It's easy to get bugged by some of us, and even someone you like. But it was, this old stayed with me, how I was so infuriated by this, you know, lack of mindfulness. And then, of course, you know, who am I, you know, to judge that? I'm just as mindless as he was being about many things. So it's all kind of in the, to me, my takeaway is it's kind of all in the mind of the beholder.
That's the point. Yeah. Well, that's a perfect illustration. Yeah.
And how something changes, too, once there's actually attention, you know, as I sat with it.
Yes.
It just became, I didn't do anything, but it became clear to me.
The reality
right.
Came clear. Yeah. It wasn't like he thought it was at all.
No. And why was I so irritated? That's just, you know. But then that happens. Most people were just bugged by something. But I think what this is all teaching us is to just pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And maybe don't believe all of that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
In our minds, it's like, okay, you see somebody doing something that's not common sense to you, and it's like, see, how could that person be doing this? This is going to hurt them, you know. And my question is it even in the mind, like, to kind of try to stop that there? Because my mom used to tell me that's the different thing. Don't let it bother you. You know, she's really easygoing. It's not your deal. It doesn't matter. Don't get upset. You know, she had such a nice, pure face. It's very convincing. I'm thinking, how could she say that? This is really annoying, you know. But it's so true. But to get there takes so much practice. I mean, we're all different. To what annoys us, what bothers us, whether they're stepped or not, you know. And so here's the second question. Third question is, there's a lot of them, Wendy. like this morning in the coffee house, Henry. But like he's getting hard of hearing, so he's like, he wants to know everything. He's like, what did you say? You know, so we had to repeat everything, which is fine, you know, but it's become a pattern where it's almost inappropriate. And we're all his friends. This is an older guy, lovely man, But it's like, I said, why can't we just go up to him and say, hey, Henry, you know, we all worship you and adore you. Why can't we say it in a nice way? And I'm sure he will understand. Why can't we do this? And they all looked at me. They said, you do it. I probably couldn't do it.
Really?
I mean, he's one of my best friends. But it's like, we could learn from just not tolerating, but learn to deal with it. But why not talk about it?
Well, that's true. In many situations, that is that's the solution. It takes tact.
Right. So much.
Yeah.
And even when we think we've thought so much about it and it's going to work.
And maybe it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So ultimate would be just to...
Yeah, just to let it go and let it be the way it is.
So even when it comes up in the mind,
mm-hmm.
you kind of let it pass?
Yeah.
Or do you just kind of like chop it? You like kill it?
No, it's better to let it pass. Just acknowledge it and it'll go away because something else will come up. If you acknowledge it, if you try to chop it off, it usually gives it more energy.
It's just like anything else.
Yeah.
Well, see, I always think of things like alcoholism or something like this. Mm. You can't just have one drink.
No.
Or two drinks. But there's certain things that need to be chopped off, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that's
there's
up to the...
There's not that many of those,
it's,
are there?
And that's... It's up to the individual. I mean, and each situation is so different.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Deafness, he could do something about that. Presumably, there are lots of mechanical things that can improve the ears.
No, he has hearing aids. It's just, you know, he's 94 and he wants to know what's going on.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, he's bored and...
Yeah.
But going back to the point that we read, and I'm not sure I quite get it, so maybe as other people ask questions it would get clarified. But is it judging other people or is it thinking that just because their actions doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean that I need to think the way I do when I'm getting more muddy?
Well, this whole book is about how to be kind to other people. So, and it's based on the mystery of the self and the other, of what it is to be a self, apparently separate from everybody else and everything else. So that we tend to project on others.
Mm-hmm.
The disturbances that go on in our own mind and blame or accuse or create some sort of solution in our mind to keep us from being disturbed by the feeling of separation from the other person.
Doesn't mean we don't have our opinions on how we would do what we do.
We can't help it.
Pardon?
We can't help it.
Yeah.
To have our own opinions. We are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to project that onto somebody else and say, oh, be like me.
Or what if you said, I would do it that way? It doesn't mean you would do it that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's different than...
Yeah. That's opening it up.
Well, I can think of lots of people who force you to deal with their imperfections. I mean, they want something from you, and you have to deal with where they are, whether you want to or not.
What's a for instance?
For instance, someone that has dementia, whether it's caused by alcoholism or old age or whatever, and they decided they want something, your friendship. But then, so you're forced to deal with, unless you completely shield them off, you have to keep assuring them that everything's okay and you're their friend. Because they can't remember their last encounter with you.
Well, that's a different matter. That's acknowledging that somebody is not well, or not well balanced, or clear in the mind, so that that's not being. That's not being judgmental as much as being honest and real about the kind of situation that person is in. And of course it affects you if you keep running into that person.
But where do you find the compassion to deal with it?
Well, if it's in those cases, I think best way is to find a way of not encountering that person as often, so that it doesn't build up into an expectation on her side or your side.
Avoidance.
That doesn't mean if she needs help that you don't immediately go to her aid. But if she is depending on you to be your friend, her friend, and you don't want to. You don't have to.
I don't know why I get into these things. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I guess
she's there and she's...
He's
there and he wants consolation or connection. Yeah.
Does he know the difference if you don't attend to what he wants?
I don't intend to. Sorry.
Does he know the difference if you avoided him? Is he that aware?
Oh, yeah.
Because some people aren't even aware of what they're...
He can knock on my door. He can call me on the phone. So he has access.
it's hard. It's The bodhisattva way comes up this way sometimes, where we feel like we have to go out and accommodate everybody, and up to a point, that's the way it is. That's what our vow is, but it's not. It's a matter of balance between your life and somebody else's life. If you're not taking care of yourself,
I take good care of myself. It's just that sometimes it catches me off guard. I guess I'm just having doubts what I got, you know, how I extended myself. I tried not to make promises, tried not to build up expectations. Well, he knows my interests, so he presents an activity and invites me to go to an art gallery or something. But I'm just saying, it's I need to get into some activity so I don't open myself to these needy people. I guess I need to be serving dinners at the soup kitchen or something.
Charge him by the hour, see what he says then.
It's not an easy thing. But it's an opportunity to really look at it, at how you live your life with other people, and what your true intention is, and his as well.
It's been very clear. It's been very clear. It's just, you know, occasionally there's snags. I've set pretty firm boundaries.
That's really important, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted me to sell something for him on eBay. And with a generous commission, I said no. Didn't care for the answer, but I stuck to it. So that created a little disturbance.
Well, that's the trick.
Yeah.
You have to stay clear and keep your boundary, and that will upset him then. But that's how to keep the balance in the relationship.
Yeah. Well, but the glitch is, I don't know if he's going to remember what we decided.
Oh, jeez.
Save it. Remember?
Oh,
sounds
gosh.
Sounds like Twilight Zone.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah.
I have some very together friends too.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't.
Well, it's hard to know when you go into a situation what you're getting into, always. And usually it's a treat, but sometimes it's a little much. You can't you can't predict it ahead of time.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you really have to care for someone if you're going to have a relationship, because you don't know what it's going to be demanded of you.
Yes. Yeah.
Or requested from you.
Mm. Well, good luck.
So the ideal of the saint would be to see other people, their Buddhahood,
mm-hmm.
their purity, what's behind who they really are. Is that the ideal of the saint?
The ideal is to forget about yourself
mm-hmm.
first and recognize the life of the other, of what's before you. And
recognize it.
Well, often we just take for granted what we see. We think we know what we see when it comes. You know, it's just a man with a green shirt, and it just goes by. Even in a conversation, you don't really get a connection. So it's about making connection with others, being willing to connect with others and give ourselves a complete acceptance of the other, who is no other than ourselves. Even in dementia, which is why you responded to him in that way, because it's another human being. It's another one of us. It's part of the family. But if we step back and protect ourselves and refuse to listen, which is really key to it, and just base our reactions to what we think we know, then it's not a real connection at all. I don't think it's something fancy. I don't think there are going to be bells and lights and things about it. It's just being really clear and honest with whoever. That makes sense?
Yeah, don't want to separate
yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's the point of this book. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Chogyam says, it's the other one. Wallace says that the next one is just like this one. And I must say, I agree. It's don't ponder others, which means don't stand in judgment of others. Don't pick on other people's problems or mistakes. And so that, to me, is just the same as what we've just been talking about. Don't make a big deal about other people's anything, unless you can really encourage them and adore them. But the next one is very different from that, and I think we should take this one home, number 27. And it's called Work with the Greatest Defilements First. this is in oneself. And Chogyam says about this, work with our hang-ups, expose them, and don't consider them junk. Don't be down on ourselves or try to throw away our hang-ups, but get to be really closely familiar with where we screw up when we don't need to. There are a lot of places where we just, maybe I should just talk about in a modern way, I just forget or don't want to remember things that I could be doing that would be much wiser than what I end up doing almost on automatic. I think there are a lot of things that we all do on automatic that need not to be like that. And so Chogyam says very seriously, you do not want to work with chicken shit. You want to work with the chicken itself. That's supposed to inspire us. So this will be a little different. This is not about others. The other one isn't about others either. It's about ourselves, and this is just coming around and looking at it from a different angle. But where is it that we just go on automatic and lose our way? Stick with the chicken. There are questions? Announcements. We have a sit next center Saturday.
13.
And this is 2.
So not next Saturday, following.
Okay.
9 to 12.
Okay.
I would have had more to share if it was the defilements one this week.
Oh, Karen.
But I'm sure I'll have more defilements.
Oh.
Can okay. I share something that
yes.
has been bothering me?
Yeah.
There's a young girl, late 20s. I know her since when she was 2. And I assume that she somehow share some kind of value with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then through Facebook post, I found out she's going to shooting range. And she's a pro gun, you know, supporting the right to carry arms. And it upset me so much.
Oh. Oh, she's child. That's terrible.
I was talking, discussing, you know, with Barbara, and he keep on telling me that she's more than just, you know, shooting range. She is whole package. But it's something that I have had them really accepting.
Yes.
I don't know what to do.
Well, this is a good test of this very thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably since it was posted on Facebook, I cannot bring up.
Oh,
you
she
know,
doesn't
in discussion.
Know. Oh.
So I won't say anything, but I don't know. I'm just sitting with it.
So she doesn't know you know.
I see posted on Facebook, so
And she thinks you're still friends with her because... Yeah, that's tricky too, isn't it?
Yes. So I had to wait. I thought I just had to wait and see how it goes down.
Yeah.
Look her in, her in her eyes. I don't want to see what happens.
Well, you've known her for a long, long time, so this can't change it altogether. Because you know more. Much more. But it's a great example of how little we know about other people. Yeah.
What's the reason for her doing that? What's behind it?
She lives in the countryside?
Yes.
Upstate in New York.
It's not just a sport.
I think it's more towards that.
It's not just like an end thing.
And she said some people shoot to support themselves to eat. Right. Eat meat.
What would it be like to ask her privately, just to help you understand where she's coming from?
That would be I don't know.
What if she really had a good reason that, and here you are suffering, worrying about it.
Yeah. See if I can find the time to sit down with her.
I had a very similar experience just today because I was driving back from the store or somewhere and got behind this fellow in a great big white truck with dual rear tires. So, it's a carrying a trailer or a work vehicle that tows heavy weight, and it said something about cowboy or something, and there was some like picture of a gun or something like that. So I just had this projection of thought that this is an individual whose lifestyle is completely different from many of us, and yet I try to imagine the deeper sense of that Buddhahood that probably exists in that fellow. Even though on that surface he might be one of these guys who loves guns and doesn't mind, shooting deer or whatever it is. And I think it's the way people are brought up, particularly in the countryside or in certain parts of the country where that's normal and they're like that. But when I see it, I have that same kind of a reaction, like, oh my God, I better not get too close to this guy. But I tried to think of a way that was a little bit deeper, that somewhere behind all of that, we're all still humans, like you said, Angie. And when terrible things happen, like earthquakes or tsunamis, none of that stuff matters. People come together to support one another in almost all cases. But we all live in these individual capsules and have our own likes and dislikes, and you come up against people that are quite different, and it's really sometimes very hard to imagine how you could be near somebody like that, but finding the way to be able to be with them seems like that's the challenge. I have that at work a lot. I'll see people coming through a line and they look like gangsters or really, sort of tough people, and I try to find a way to say, hi, how are you today? You having a good day? And so that I don't have a judgment about, what kind of the person they really are.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kisayo. one more practice opportunity. So we should sit for a minute.